This meeting is now being recorded.
Shalom, everyone. This is Elliot Schoenberg speaking, International Director of Placement for the Rabbinical Assembly. This podcast is called Milcom Mondays, even though today is a Tuesday. This has been a production of the Rabbinical Assembly's Office of Placement for 3 years. We look at best practices in search for a new rabbinic presence in a congregation or an organization. Several of these podcasts are already on the website, which you can receive a link to. Today, it is my great pleasure and privilege to have as our presenter Mr. Mitch Podub, who works in human resources in Connecticut, but more importantly, he was the co-chair of a successful search for Congregation Beth El in Fairfield, Connecticut last year. Welcome, Mitch.
Thank you, Rabbi Schoenberg, and it's a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure to speak to you today about our rabbinical search for Congregation Beth El in Fairfield. And it was an incredible experience for many, many folks that were involved, and the net result from our process is that we were able to select a spiritual leader that not only has touched the congregation in so many ways, but he has also brought renewed spirit to our synagogue and to the congregants who were very much looking forward to his arrival. Our rabbinical search, just on a short period of time, led us to approximately 28 candidates, and the candidate that we chose was from Chile, from Santiago. And so Rabbi Marcelo Cuomas is our new spiritual leader. So the process that we put in place not only was effective for those domestic candidates that we interviewed, but also those international as well. And so what I'd like to do in the next little while is share with you our experiences and talk to you a little bit about what our process has been. So back when we first thought of our rabbinical search, we went and did quite a bit of internal soul-searching throughout the congregation. We had many different house meetings. We had several congregational meetings. We had several surveys as to what the congregational input would be in terms of this new spiritual leader. And we really came back to a few very key things, is that we were looking for somebody who could not only lead us spiritually, but also display and create the element of leadership that really is, and the way we put it in our search guidebook, is defined as somebody who has an invisible strand and is mysterious as it is powerful. He or she would really display the elements of true form of leadership. We look for somebody who would be able to have leadership qualities that are universal, and somebody who would be precious not only to the congregational needs, but also to the community and, quite honestly, to Israel at large. So in the highest sense, we felt that the leadership for this particular process would really be governed by a group of folks who really wanted to see outcome that would be very positive. People who are very passionate about finding somebody not just for the here and now, but for the long-range future as well. So what I'd like to do is share with you, again, our interview guide, and that's really the process that we put together. Our interview guide is really a true reflection of all the congregational inputs that we received as we began our search for a new spiritual leader. We charged up approximately 25 folks across the congregation who were actively involved in the interview process, not just the search process, but just in the interview process. Because we felt that we wanted to have as many folks be a part of the ongoing questioning and really get a sense for who the individual is coming forward. So the overview is that the interview guide that we've put together is a behavioral interviewing process. And there's different ways to interview for a rabbinical spiritual leader, as well as in the business world. There's different ways to interview for somebody who across all different disciplines. You have a traditional interviewing model and you have a behavioral interviewing model. We use a hybrid of both, but predominantly we use behavioral interviewing. Behavioral interviewing is a thorough, planned, systemic way to gather and evaluate information about what prospective candidates have done in the past to show how they would perform in future situations. This type of interview is based on the idea that the best way to predict future performance is to thoroughly examine past and present performance in a similar situation. Behavioral interviewing focuses on experiences, behaviors, knowledge, skills, and abilities that are truly job-related. When we were putting together the interview guide, it was really part of the process of looking at the rabbinical search as a whole. We took into consideration the input from our congregation's town hall meetings, the focus groups that I mentioned, our application process, the job description, the prior rabbinical hiring search process, which was conducted approximately 8 years ago. And from all the fact-finding and the evaluative process, we were able to predetermine what the appropriate skills are that would be necessary for this new rabbi to lead our congregation. With that in mind, all the inputs were matched to the skills identified and behavioral questions were generated. Currently in the business world, upwards of 40% of all organizations use behavioral interviewing practices to some degree. The behavioral interview approach was used for our process, understanding relevant job competencies, the many inputs, and the appropriate questions that allowed us to really obtain somebody that we felt would be successful. This was the only tool that we used in our search process when we got to the actual interviewing. And again, it removes subjectivity and it creates objectivity in the selection. We found that the interview guide as a whole, outside of behavioral interviewing, also provided structure for all of us. We were all working from one template, and we all had the opportunity to look at the same documents and be very well-versed so that no matter how many candidates we interviewed or no matter how many questions we were asking, there was a very strong theme and a repetitious aspect to how we were going to find this new leader. So there is a difference between traditional interviewing versus behavioral interviewing. And we use behavioral interviewing for the following reasons. Again, as I mentioned, we're looking at past performance as indicative of future performance and expectations. In a traditional interview, candidates are asked a series of questions which have very straightforward answers, such are, what are your strengths and weaknesses? What major challenges and problems did you face? How did you handle them? Or describe a typical work week. In a behavioral interview, the skills, as I mentioned, have been predetermined for success in the position. We ask very specific questions that really relate to the behavior of the individual. Behavioral interviewing begins with one question, and then it leads up to a series of follow-up questions, allowing the interviewer to dig deeper into a candidate's core competencies. I'd like to talk for a moment about competencies and how they're all defined. And we use this as the model for us to create our flow for three very important segments of the interviewing process. Competencies are observable and measurable characteristics that include the knowledge, attitudes, skills, abilities, values, behavior, and personal attributes that are directly related with the successful performance of individuals in their functions and responsibilities. For our purposes, for Congregation Bethel, competencies are also the common way which we evaluate, think, and talk about a talented leader. So how do the competencies relate? Well, we said that the sum of the parts equals the whole. There were 21 competencies that were identified that would match behavioral interview questions, and these 21 behavioral competencies were broken down into three very specific groupings. In these buckets, as I'll refer to them, one is managing the congregation, two is managing the community, and three is managing the self. Collectively, these three groups helped us to pinpoint how a new rabbi will lead within the congregation, within the community, and lastly, how he or she would lead personally. All three of these groupings combined provided valuable insight to the behaviors associated with the future performance. So when we look at these leadership subgroupings, as I mentioned, there are three. So under the managing the congregation aspect, the following competencies really helped us to determine the right questions. So the competencies are as follows: dealing with ambiguity, informing, synagogue acumen, strategic agility, command skills, decision quality, congregation community, and Israel focus. And again, that refers to managing the congregation. And when we talk about managing the congregation, we speak to how well will the new rabbi handle specific situations and demonstrate behaviors that will enable him or her to lead and manage the congregation. For example, effectively handling change, the key decision-making practices when it comes to tough decisions, the ability to communicate ideas fiscally and spiritually, engagement practices, deployment of his or her vision, and creating synergies to execute strategically. When we talk now about managing the community, the following attributes and competencies are part of that process. Conflict management, managing diversity, sizing up people, directing others, interpersonal savviness, building effective teams, and motivating others. Now, when we refer to managing the community, it really refers to how well the new rabbi will assimilate into the local community, how he or she will foster and further integrate into the congregation's commitments and values. What's the relationship building going to be like internally and externally? What's the congregational leadership going to be like within the other communities, such as the clergy and the connectivity to Israel? The last piece of this, or the last bucket, is really managing the self. And under managing the self, the following competencies are part of this process. Personal learning, priority setting, ethics and values, planning, work-life balance, and self-development. This was really important to us because we wanted to make sure that this new rabbi, how would he or she manage their personal time relative to the commitments of a spiritual leader? So, for example, planning, incorporating the congregation into his or her personal life, mentoring capabilities, juggling and balancing priorities, and adapting his family or her family to synagogue life. So within all of those competencies, each one of those was broken down and defined into three very specific criteria, subgroupings. One was skilled, one was overuse skill, and the last one was an underuse skill. And this guide was for all 21 competencies. And what I will do is I will just give you an example of what one of them was like, because otherwise they're too lengthy for to go through all 21 right now. But for example, managing the congregation and dealing with ambiguity. The skilled part of this that we look for is, can he or she effectively cope with change? Can they shift gears comfortably? Can they decide and act without having the total picture? Is not upset when things are up in the air, does not have to finish things before moving on, can comfortably handle risk and uncertainty. And that would really refer to the skill side of it. The overuse part of the skill, they may move to conclusions without enough data, may fill in gaps by adding things that aren't there, may frustrate others by not getting specific enough, may undervalue orderly problem solving, may reject precedent and history, may err towards new and risky at the expense of proven solutions, may overcomplicate things. And the last piece of that is the unskilled part. Not comfortable with change or uncertainty, may not do well on fuzzy problems with no clear solution or outcome, may prefer more data than others, structure over uncertainty, may prefer things tracked down and sure, less efficient and productive under ambiguity, and the list goes on. So for each of those 21 competencies that I mentioned, each of these skill factors was used as a guide when the interviewer would go into the room. Now, what I'd like to do is really go into the actual interview process and how it really worked. So there were three pieces of the successful interviewing process for this rabbi. And again, looking at the three buckets that I had, everybody, all 26 folks that were involved in the process, needed to understand the position requirements. They needed to be assigned roles and responsibilities of the interviewing team, and then they did the actual interviewing and the follow-up. So when I refer to understanding the position requirements, it's very important to have a job description for a rabbi. And I say that because, look, everybody understands what the role of a rabbi is, but when you really start to put it together and you put it to paper, it's basically a job description that the average interviewer or the average person who is actually doing interviewing or is part of the process can refer to. And it really becomes the blueprint for the entire process. So having a job description, as generic as it may be, it's really an important piece of the process. when we start looking at going beyond the job description and we start understanding how the logistical piece of this works, there's different parts of the actual interview process. For our service, in this process, we had a team of resume interviewers. One group of individuals that just strictly looked at the resumes only and decided whether or not he or she is the rabbinical candidate was somebody that we'd like to pursue. This group was different than the group of interviewers and different from any other group that was out there. We felt that by having a separate resume review group, that they would be more objective. They would have an opportunity to be removed from any other piece of the process, but their role was vital in voting on whether or not this person should go forward. For purposes of this, 12 people were on the resume review committee. So when we received a resume electronically, it went out to 12 individuals. There were certain criteria that was listed, whether or not this person really had the tenure and the perceived success factors to be part of our congregation. Once the rabbi candidate was accepted, we moved into the next phase, and that was really the pre-screen process. And the pre-screen process for us was a series of about 15 questions conducted over an hour on the phone, and it was myself and six other designated individuals who participated. However, it was only myself and one other person that we would pre-screen the rabbi. And I felt that I should be on each one of them, given the fact that I have the HR background. And the other individuals that were selected, it was based on their ability and their flexibility and their time commitment. All interviews pre-screen, as I mentioned, were done on the phone. In the case of our current rabbi, his phone interview was done via Skype, and it proved to be very successful. Once we determined that the rabbi candidate from the pre-screen process was more, and let me just back up for one moment. On the pre-screen process, those questions that were asked were more traditional questions. It was, let's talk about your background from a traditional side of it, meaning when did you determine that you'd like to become a rabbi? What was your upbringing like? What was your first indication that you'd like to become a rabbi? What's your thoughts about men and women davening on the Bima? Talk to us a little bit about your family life, your upbringing, your spiritual life as a child. How did it translate to your adulthood? Questions that were very specific but not behavior related. Because what we wanted to do from the pre-screen questions was really glean out, is this person somebody that we feel that we could connect with? So again, there were a series of about 15 questions, give or take, depending on the individual and depending on the flow of the evening. One question that we felt that was very important to ask as well is, what are your expectations in the first 30, 60, 90 days in the position, and what would you do? Thereafter, we would move to the next question. What are the changes that you would like to implement? What are your thoughts about our questionnaire? Where do you see the biggest impact in our synagogue would be? And again, those are more traditional-based questions. For purposes of how our process worked, we narrowed it down to four candidates that we wanted to bring in for a weekend, a complete weekend of activities. But prior to that, the four candidates that we felt that we would bring in to interview went through this next phase, which is really truly the behavioral interviewing phase. For purposes that led us to our final conclusion, we netted our search down to five candidates that came in that actually went through the behavioral interview process, and then two candidates were in the final selection rounds, not four. So the way it worked for us is that we had an approximate interview team of no less than 18 people. And the reason why it's 18 people is because it worked very, very evenly. We were able to schedule at least three people per grouping that I mentioned, managing the congregation, managing the community, and managing the self. and we had alternates. And it was a great opportunity for everyone to be actively involved in the process, but it also gave the flexibility that at any point in time, 9 people were going to interview the rabbi candidate coming in. We did the interview process through an electronic scheduler, and you may have heard of it. It's under doodle.com, doodle.com. It was the simplest process that we could have to figure out the coordination and the timing and really get a good sense of how it would work. So the objective
Mitch, can I just say that, you know, we're want to save some time for questions. So
yes.
Maybe if you could sort of sum up a little bit, and then let's have time for 2-3 questions.
Exactly. I'm heading there right this moment.
Great.
So the bottom line to how the process worked for all is that each of these 9 interviewers had a series of behavioral-based questions that were based on the inputs from the congregation. And a very simple question would be, for example, describe a situation when effective communication was essential and you reached out to peers to gauge your messaging. Discuss your messaging about sustaining a strong Jewish educational system. Tell me how your professional involvement in synagogue events, so for example, New Torah campaign, Sisterhood Interfaith Sukkot luncheon, guest lecturers, educational programs, created positive outreach within the synagogue and outreach into the community. So under all of these competencies, there were approximately about 160 questions that were created, and they were all based on synagogue input. And the net result to all of this, each of the 3 groups at the end had to fill out a form, and the form had to be scored and from the on a scale of 1 to 5, and then those percentages were used to evaluate the overall process. Each of the scoring process was confidential, and there were only 2 people that knew what the final tallies were in the end. And also then we had some a feedback form that people could put all of their questioning and their comments and their notes in the end in terms of how the fit would be. So I recommend that the behavioral interviewing process is something that really, you know, it worked well for us. It was very thoughtful. It took into consideration all the various inputs that we've had, and it really had a great opportunity for us to select somebody who was very thought-focused. And it also created a great dynamic for us in terms of this new rabbi coming in was already acclimated to our congregation because he's met so many people and really felt very secure in the process and what was being asked of him. So I realize I covered a lot of information. I'd like to open it up for any kind of questions that anybody may have. Be happy to expand a little bit more on the behavioral side or any other questions that you may think that I can help you
with.
So
this is Rabbi Schoenberg. Let me say that one of the reasons why I asked Mitch to come is because his congregation and the process that he designed was really efficient and really effective, and not a lot of congregations were using this model. So it was and is a model to consider. Just want to point out to folks that on the website and in the information that we sent out to you inviting you to this, the last link, Additional Seminars, has prior recorded seminars that we've done of best practices. So number one, it has a traditional approach where many more congregations have been using it. There's another seminar on questions to use that congregations have found to be effective. There's another recorded seminar on the Shabbat experience and how to integrate that into the overall search. So this seminar that Mitch is presenting is one of a possible set of scenarios that you may use. So I want to just put that into context. So we have time for 1 or 2 questions. Let's see if there are any.
I have a quick question. What's the size of your congregation? And second of all, is it possible to get copies of both your traditional pre-screening questions and your behavioral questions?
The congregation has 325 families, and if you'd like to email me, I'll be happy to send you a copy of what we have in terms of questions.
Maybe before the end of the call, they can give us your email.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I would like to add one thing. When we were doing the behavioral interview and questions, each session was approximately an hour and 15 to an hour and a half. So it was approximately 4.5 hours of all-in for interviewing.
Did you involve any of your current clergy, like cantor or school directors, in any of your interviewing?
No, we did not, because what we did is we set up separate time and dinners, meetings before and afterwards with the candidates that we brought in for these kinds of for this interview process.
This is, may I interject? It's more a comment and asking for others to comment to my comment. This process, it's Dan Turk from the Jewish Community of Japan in Tokyo. This process sounds appropriate for a large community with several hundred families, but I have trouble on the spur of the moment imagining how it would work for a much smaller community such as ours with only about 100 families. Because there seems to be something that's, about the number and variety of congregational members you use that seems to be important to the process. That's my comment.
Okay.
Did you want to respond to that?
I do. The process can be modified. The questions can be modified to a smaller population. I think it's not about the size of the number of people that are involved in the actual interviewing process. I think it's the core selection committee, it's the core group that you put together that would really make the process very fluid. And I say that because, again, it can be done on a much smaller scale. This type of model I've used before for traditional interviewing for jobs, for candidates that come in to see me. And I've done it with small teams, so it doesn't have to be quite as large. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, Mitch, is that one of the reasons why we wanted to put this out here is that this is an approach that worked for this particular congregation.
Right.
And other congregations have not used it and think it's an interesting model for people to consider. I just want to emphasize that some of the advantages to this model, because there are some traps when interviewing for a rabbi. And one of the things that Mitch said very early on in this is that what was being described were job-related behaviors. And often congregations get distracted when they create committee questions which have nothing to do with the actual work of the rabbi. So one of the great advantages of this was that the questions were job-related behaviors. The other thing that Mitch said that is very important is that there was consistency, that there was a predetermined set of skills that were determined that were appropriate for his particular congregation. And those questions were then pursued on a regularized basis and were asked for every candidate and were asked every step of the interview, as opposed to being different sets of questions at different times, which, again, is a trap that congregations fall into, is that they're not consistent. And finally, one of the other things that Mitch put out there that was very helpful to his search, which was also a best practice and a good idea, is they sat down first and created a job description for them. Every congregation is different. Every community is different. The needs are different. So one needs to look at what it is that you need. And once you have then predetermined that, and not saying you're looking for the best rabbi, but looking for the best rabbi for you, then to create a process. Those are all the reasons why we brought Mitch's example here, because those are all things that search committees could benefit from. We're going to do that.
Turk, I just want to comment that those are all good points, both from you, Rabbi, and from Mitch as a presenter, and all very useful, and thank you.
All right, so we have time for one more question, perhaps. Do we have one final question here?
I have one more question, and it might be the subject of another call, but I'm going to ask it anyway. And that is, what due diligence did you do? Did someone go to Chile to actually observe this rabbi in his prior position?
It was very interesting. We had multiple Skype interviews with him, and then one of our board members, her father, was traveling through Chile, and he spent Shabbat with him. And
wow.
he was a past president of another synagogue within our community. And so he spent a good deal of time with him and came back and gave a very objective point of view in terms of, you know, whether or not he should come forward for the further process. And if we did not have him, then we potentially would have sent somebody from our search committee to Chile to, again, meet with him there.
Great. So, Mitch, you want to summarize, you want to say, do you have one final thought, one final piece of advice to a search committee that's starting out and beginning its process? If you had one piece of advice to give them, what would it be?
It would be listen to the congregation. Listen to what they're asking for and ask for their feedback, and then ask those questions back to a potential rabbi candidate.
Great. Listen to your congregants. That's terrific. So I would like to thank Mr. Mitch Podab of Congregation Beth El in Fairfield, Connecticut, for the excellent presentation on behavioral interviewing. And like I said before, if you would like to look at other recorded seminars, that would be to your great benefit. They're all linked to the email invitation that was sent out for this call. If for some reason you don't have it, you can send me an email, and I will then be happy to send you the links.
My name is. Can you give us Mitch's email?
Why don't you send me an email, and I will forward it on to you.
I will.
Be happy to do that. I don't want to put it out. It's confidential. So if you email me, I will let you know what it is. This is Elliot Schoenberg, International Director of Placement for the Rabbinical Assembly. This has been Mocha Mondays. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.